irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
Once again from my secret little studio right there in the heart of the Sawtooth Mountains in Star, Idaho. You're listening to LA Talk Radio, and this is the Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina. I'm looking at Bobby Jean Bell, who actually combed her hair, and Richard Polinelli, my other co-host, who actually didn't comb his.
No, you know, y'all are lucky I'm here, just here as I am.
Yeah, right. I know how it is, Rich. Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I am wonderful. I am wonderful.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I am.
Oh. Wow.
I've been reading these great books, and I have new statements to use regularly.
Oh, well, there you go. And with tonight's guest, if you were a child, you really could get into them. So, anyway, without much further ado, you know, if... At the Tuscany Bay Books, we have a program that we are offering now, new writers or writers in general. If you have a book that you want to advance for a small fee of $25, you can submit a 60-second or less ad with the name of the book and your name, of course, the title of the book, a brief synopsis of what the book is about, and you can send that to me at jimchristina@yahoo.com, and you also need to send me $25 to jchristina@tuscanybaybooks.com on PayPal, and we'll get you a 1 minute or less ad for as many weeks as you want to buy. So it's a good deal if you want your books to get out there to a lot of listeners at one time. We can help you out. And of course, once again, we're here on the air with Mr. Sam Hassan and LA Talk Radio. That has been our home for over 6 years and will remain our home for hopefully another 6 years. And so, Richard, what you got going on, buddy?
Right now, I'm trying to figure out why my computer screen just started doing the weird stuff.
I know, mine did too. Mine shot in half and I lost Bobby Jean.
Yeah. I lost both of you, but you both are back now.
I'm just hanging out here, have no clue what's going on. But anyway, that's the normal day for me anyway. But no, not much. Just trying to get some writing projects wrapped up before the end of the year and reading more good books from our guests like we have tonight.
Okay, then. Well, I tell you what, let's get into this because we have been working with this young lady for, 7-8 months now. We republished, with permission, her first two children's books, Perfectly Precious Pulicious, and I believe the other one is Pulicious, Oh Look at Me,
mm-hmm.
or Look at Me, and then we did publish the third one, Pulicious, Oh the Wonder of Me. We'll be working on her fourth book, which is a YA novel that will be coming out sometime towards the end of this year. We are going to be doing let's let her tell you a little bit more about herself. Please welcome to the Writer's Block for her very first appearance with the happenstance characters that happen to run this show, Miss Mary Ellen, or Elizabeth Jackson. There you go.
Hi, how is everybody? I'm Mary Ellen tonight. All right.
Yeah, you're Mary Ellen. I don't know, Mary Ellen, Mary Elizabeth, whatever.
Mary Elizabeth.
Well, I grew up with a Mary Ellen Waterbury, so.
Mary Elizabeth, you like to be called Mary or Mary Elizabeth?
Well, you know, either is fine. I use Mary Elizabeth for my writing, for my author name, because there was, before I got published, I was looking and there were no Mary Elizabeth Jacksons. And I went, well, I got to go with that because You know, you don't want to be the 10th person down the line or 100th person or, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So, well, you know what? I totally lost my train of thought. Pulitzer books. Okay. Along with your three books that we did, Mary, we're also going to be doing a fourth, not the YA novel, but we're going to be doing a combination, a compendium of the Pulitzer books in one single volume. And with it, we're going to be adding a CD of the three voice books, audio books. And those will be, I think we have discussed that those will be 100 count, that's it. There's a special purchase only. You need to get in and get those ordered because there's only going to be 100 of them. They'll come with a certificate of authenticity signed and numbered. And then your book will be numbered. And in the back, of course, on the back cover, you'll have the CD with all three audio books. And I'm looking forward to working on that project, Mary. What do you think?
I am so excited about it. Very, very excited. I can't wait. Can't wait. I told the... I actually told the librarians today about it, and they were very excited.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were very excited. So we have a, I'll be at the library next week with all three books. We have a story hour, and we're supposedly going to have about 100 children. So I'm very excited about that.
Okay. Okay. And I believe the title we're going to call it, or right now, we've been talking about calling it... Oh, the Wonder of Pulitzer.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Yes. And it's a very sweet word. You know, there I get all kinds of comments about that word. And most of the time, they're very, very, you know, nice. And because it's a play on words, it's a children, they're children's books. So we have to open our mind and remember when we were kids, we liked words that sounded silly, right?
Right.
It's a silly word, and it just is kind of, it's the embodiment of childhood and the innocence of childhood. And it's, kids love to laugh, and they learn more when they're laughing, you know? And so when I looked at my son, that's the word that came to me for the title of the book. And I guess as a mom looking at your little one, it's a sweet sound. It's a sweet word. But as an adult, people are like, what?
Yeah, well, I mean, so, they associate it with poo, I'm sure.
I know. But they have to just, we just have to be open-minded. And it's to bring out that big kid in all of us.
Right, right. So possibly we should mention the fact that your son that you wrote these books about is autistic.
He is, yes. He's, yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I was just saying he's level one autism with sensory processing and language processing disorder. So, yes.
Okay. And I think we discussed a while back that I have a grandson that's autistic as well.
Yes.
And it took him a long time. He's now, I think, 12 or 13. And he's really come around as far as being able to start doing things on his own. He loves airplanes. So... maybe he'll be an airplane engineer savant. Who knows?
Hey, you know what? Their brains are brilliant. I mean, you know, they're just, their minds work differently than what we consider the norm. And
right.
So the world puts a label on it as being wrong, and it really isn't. It's just a different form of human, the brain and processing.
Right.
And, just some of the most brilliant things I ever hear come out of a kid are those precocious, high-functioning, sometimes a little bit off, you know, if you want to say, children who think their own way about things. I mean, you know, they. I mean, my son is extremely creative, and he is high-functioning. But, I mean, I have two out of my three children who were born nonverbal. And both of them are completely verbal, and, you know, they do very well. We've done a lot of therapies. My son's eight. He's still in speech and OT therapy. And I'm a big advocate for this. I'm a big advocate for helping families get services that their children need in school and anything else that has to come along with it. I've, you know, been on the road to Capitol Hill here in Tennessee and fought to get laws put into place and things changed to protect kids in classrooms. that's still an uphill battle. There are about five states in the United States that now have cameras in classrooms, and I think we need to jump on board with that.
Well, I'm of the opinion, and because I have an autistic grandson, I am of the opinion that autistic children, specifically autistic children, have a lot easier time focusing on one particular thing and really getting into it. I mean, my mind goes everywhere all the time. Of course, that's me. I mean, you know, that's the way I'm built. But Kevin is, man, he'll get like a model airplane. He doesn't even need to read the instructions. He's just like, that thing is put together in like 3 hours flat. And not a part is left on the trees. It's the kid's amazing.
Yeah, so,
they're amazing children. He's now growing quickly out of it. He's never going to be totally out of being autistic, but he is a high functioning now. I'm glad to see that he is able to assimilate into regular classrooms and stuff for his own good, as well as his parents, because they had to take him to autistic school for years. So.
Right. Well, the more that they can be around what I think it's good for them to be around what we consider typical, because it teaches them, it's like teaching somebody how to wash dishes. You know, there's a special way to wash dishes.
Sure.
Soap, sponge, and water, and we wash, we rinse, and we dry. It's sort of, it's the same principle in life. I mean, like when my guy was little, he had to be taught how to put Legos together because he didn't understand you put them like on top of each other and you connect them and you build. He just would lay it there on top of the other one. And so he had to be taught how to do that. So it's not a judgment or a bad thing, but then as he's taught, then he learns how to use it in order to play with. When we would go to the park when he was little, he would walk around. You know, I was the mom in the park that had a child walking around and not getting on any of the equipment, but just touching it with his finger, just touch, you know, and somebody might think that's weird, but when you're in that world and you're a parent of a child like that, you understand that that's how he's taking in information. And because he's got a lot of sensory, he's going to seek the world a different way than you and I would. And these kids come in to teach us how to be more open-minded and think outside the box.
Sure.
It definitely changes your parenting. You cannot parent these kids the same way that you would a typical kid.
Right.
And it does make life more challenging, but it also, if you can embrace it, the growth that you have as a human being is endless. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I never saw this for my life with having kids. I had no idea.
Year old was born.
I didn't know anything, just except that there was autism. You know, I didn't even know when she was first diagnosed that she had a language, that she was behind as much as she was behind. We just thought she had this cute little language. We didn't even know there was a problem.
Yeah. Before we get any further into these books and before Bobby Jean asks her questions, because I know she's going to, let's take a real brief break. And this is LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block, and we'll be right back with you right after a brief message from LA Talk Radio.
Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you've ever thought that you could be a radio host, well, now is certainly your opportunity. Go to www.latalkradio.com, find the link that says Be a Host, and follow the instructions. You know, everybody's got something to say, and if you've got a show that you think needs to be heard, how about you link up with us? Because we've got 50-minute shows available every day of the week, plus Sundays. So how about giving us a try? That's latalkradio.com, and listen every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, for The Writer's Block. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back live in the studio. We're talking to our guest tonight, Mary Elizabeth Jackson, about her Polycious series and her YA or youth, a young adult book we're going to be doing later on in the year. And you can want to call and talk to Mary. The number here in the studio is, let's see if I can get this right, guys, 323-203-0815. Do I get a Cupid doll, Bobby?
I think that's right. No.
Oh, okay. So we'll give that number out again. 323-203-0815. Okay. Bobby Jean, I know you've got a question.
Hi, Mary. This is Bobby Jean, and I enjoyed reading all three of the books. Congratulations on getting this series launched.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I guess it's like birthing a baby. it's just a lot of heart and a lot of yourself that goes into it. And so I really appreciate that a lot.
Would you just take a moment and maybe tell us a little bit more about how this series differs from other children's books? This is a very special, you have a real special, important message that these books are delivering. You want to just talk about that for a moment?
Oh, sure. I believe that it's important for us to start positive language with our children young, and it doesn't, if your kid's nonverbal or verbal, language and communication is very important. And if we can start them young with positive words and affirmations, there's a tool they can use their whole life. And I think about how much we can, we can change a generation of children by teaching them how to process more, how to understand what they're feeling, how to be more mindful, how to be aware of others, around them, their emotions, things like that. And just being able to be more positive in general towards their friends, as opposed to tearing down and being so negative. I think that, it's been important to me from the beginning to write from the viewpoint of the child and how a child feels. And so I hope that comes through when someone reads the book, and that special time of reading between a caregiver, a parent, family member, and a child, it's a very special time, when you sit there and cuddle with someone and you teach them. Ever since my oldest was little bitty baby, and I've done it with all three of my children, is I've used reading books as teaching tools, and that's what I've tried to do with these. And the premise behind it is I'm okay no matter how I came into this world, no matter how I look, no matter who I am, I'm still okay. And I'm actually better than that. We want children to accept them we want them to accept themselves and accept their peers.
You follow childhood development in your first book, Perfectly Precious Pelicious, from a baby up to the end of the third book, which is Oh, the Wonder of Me. You follow the growth of your child up through those years. I just found that amazing, reading and being able to format and help with those books, be able to see what you were doing. And as you were doing this, and I know it was a teaching experience for you as well, how much did you learn about yourself while you were doing these books? Because it had to have been quite an experience.
It was, when the first book came to me, my son was about 5 months old, and so I actually sat on that manuscript for 2 years and thought I would just save it for him one day, and I thought I would follow along in his journey. At 5 months, obviously we didn't know there were the issues that there were, because we thought he was born without issues that were predicted for him. But when the first book was published, my intention from there was to follow his journey of his life and his growth and development. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fun in a family if you have children of different ages, and they each of them have a Pelicious book, but they're all each of those different ages.
Sure.
And how cute that would be. And the font, we did the font really large so that first readers, could read to their little siblings. And the pictures are bright and big and large, because babies, they respond to that large picture. When my son was little bitty, like 4 or 5 months old, I started using books with him to calm him down. If he was agitated or irritated or fussy, I noticed that when I opened up a book with large pictures, I mean, he's 4 months old, so he can't see very well, but he can see enough and he can hear my tone as I talk, and he can learn even at that early age. And it was a very calming time for him. Uh-huh. So I learned, and still a book will, you know, hey buddy, why don't you go grab a book? And he sits and it's very calming for him. With my daughters, I took every opportunity I could for teaching. So, you know, colors, shapes, numbers, letters, everything became a learning teaching tool, each book. But I guess for the growth of me and writing these was stretching myself from being a grown-up into a child. How does a child see the world? How does a child take in information? How does a child learn? How does it make them feel? So uh-huh. I would say that was an amazing experience for me. I hope to continue to be able to do that. But I, you know, having children who have challenges, the most empowering thing we can do as anyone who's involved with that child is to research and understand what's happening with them. That empowers us and that empowers the child, because then we can provide the tools for them to overcome lots of their challenges. Because kids are brilliant. Their brains are brilliant, you know?
Sure. And I realized one thing is that as we were doing these books, I don't know if Richard caught it or not. I'm sure he probably did. He's pretty astute. Is that children's books, although they seem simple, are far from being simple. They have to be very hard to write, and because you have to get everything just so for the child to be able to grasp it. And and your books they just came out just right, and I was amazed at some of the verbiage that was in there, but then I thought, oh my gosh, it's just like he's aping his mother. You know, my mom says I have squiggly eyebrow and it makes everybody giggle. You know, okay, that's my mom said that. You know, and I totally caught on to that, but it took me 3 books. But I'm a little slow, like I've said before.
Oh my goodness, you're funny.
But I want to bring Bobby Jean in here because she has a very valid question that she needs to ask and wants to ask, and we need to ask on this program. And we'll do it before the 6:30 break. So Bobby, take it away.
Are we talking about the question?
No, we're talking about the question that you had asked me about in your messages.
Uh-oh.
What it's like to work with an illustrator.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mary, I had so many questions running around in my head. I'm not sure which one he's referring to. but let me, the illustration, I guess, let's just talk for a moment maybe about how you met your illustrator. I'd also love to know how you met Thornton Klein, I believe it is, that did the music. The first book also has music attached to it in a couple ways. You want to just touch on that for a moment?
Oh yeah, those are some of my favorite stories about this journey, actually, because it really was, if you believe in magic and magical things happening when people come together, you know, this really was that, because like I had said, you know, I sat on this for 2 years and I kept getting this nudging. I needed to do something with this. Like, it didn't need to just sit in a folder or a notebook for my child someday. And I went to my daughter's school and talked to the headmaster. This is how naive I was at the time, Bobby, okay? He was academically published. So I'm thinking, well, he knows what I should do, right? That's a joke because, you know, publishers and people publish, I mean, the genres are like different. It's like male and female, you know, it's kind of, or, you know what I mean, different foods, you know, like chicken and steak. And so, I went to him and he said, you know, I want to introduce you to somebody that teaches here. His name is Thornton Klein. I think you guys would really hit it off. And boy, did we hit it off. And, you know, we instantly connected creatively. And he, we sat down and he looked at everything I had been writing, because poetry is my first love. So I'd written lots of that stuff too. And he said, you know, I really like this manuscript. Can I write 10 songs for this? Now, here's a guy who, he's 65 now, right? We've known each other about 6-7 years. We've been working together. And he's got three number one hits that have been on the world and Euro indie charts, pop hits, right, for a 20-year-old performer here out of Nashville. And so he says to me, can I write 10 songs for this book? And I was like, oh, my gosh, yeah. So way farther than I ever saw, right? He wrote them in 5 days. He came over to my house, sat on the keyboard, played them. I cried because I thought, oh, my gosh, he totally embraced the whole essence of this situation. And the artist at my daughter's school, the art teacher, I said, you know, would you, how about maybe do a little drawing and see if it works? I didn't know. She drew the first picture, and I just cried. I was like, this is amazing. And so, you know, that's kind of how it all came together. And we had a contract in, like, I guess 3 months after we submitted. And then we were published. That was like 2016. And then 2017, it came out. And 3 months later, we won the Gold Literacy, the Gold Maxi Literacy Award for the book.
That's quite a story. Quite a story. I know, yeah. Jim, I think you're probably looking at taking us to the next break, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, we'll go ahead and do that now. So don't go away, Mary. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to LA Talk Radio, and this is The Writer's Block, and we'll be right back with you after a brief announcement from Tuscany Bay Books and Black Dog Publishing.
Congratulations, you finally finished that book. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, as a new writer, you probably do what all new writers do, stick it in the drawer with the other six or seven. Well, why not this time do something a little different? Why not get a hold of Black Dog Publishing and a fine imprint of Tuscany Bay Books? See, we can get that book out of the drawer. We can proofread it. We can edit it. We can format it. We can publish it. We can print it. We can copyright it. And we can get it on the shelf so your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, hell, even a person you don't know or two or three might want to buy a copy. It's all what it's about. And all of this for less than the cost of your firstborn. So why not give us a shot? BlackDogPublishing.co, TuscanyBayBooks.com. Your answer to getting your book published, and right now we're probably the best at what we do in this industry. Black Dog Publishing, Tuscany Bay Books.
And we are back in the studio with, of course, our guest, Mary Elizabeth Jackson, Mr. Richard Polinelli, of course, my favorite, one of my favorites, Bobby Jean Bell. And you can get a hold of Mary if you'd like. The number here in the studio is, again, 323-203-0815. She's grinning. I know I got it right. And the number is 323-203-0815. And you can call and talk to Mary, your very own self. Okay, Richard, I know you've got a question because you helped do these books.
Well, I actually want to kind of pick up the ball where we left off. We found out how Mary met her illustrator, but the whole process of taking the manuscript that you have for your children's book or for any children's book, and then getting it to match up with the illustrations, right, that has to be a pretty in-depth process. Because I'm coming from having worked on a comic book series, you know, we had a page where we had multiple panels to play with. With the children's books, you usually, it's just one image.
Right.
So how do you get that one image that's going to kind of convey everything that the text on the page is trying to say?
That's a good question, Richard. And Richard, thank you. I want to thank you so much for all your hard work and, you know, your belief in project. You know, it's really meant a lot to Thornton and I. Just me personally, because this book has been ready to be out in the world. The third one has been ready to be out in the world for a while. So I've just been like, I mean, my birthday was yesterday. And so we were toasting at dinner last night. We were like, okay, what's all the good stuff that's happened this year? I'm like, Boolicious is alive.
Well, I enjoyed working on it. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much. So yeah, that is a good question. And it's sort of like, okay, this just came into my head, but it's sort of like writing a summary or your synopsis for your book, you know, because you got to get it in like five sentences what the whole book is about. And it's sort of the same process. And I have tried illustrators out a series that I've kind of put on the back burner, but I'm starting to pick up and work on it again. It's an 8-book series, but I actually auditioned an illustrator, and it was like, oh, this is not going to work. Okay. It just, the drawing was not good. And, you know, it's hard. You have to audition and try people out. Do they get your vision? Do they see what you're going for? Do you guys work together creatively? Can you both handle constructive criticism and not get your feelings hurt, but do it in a way that's going to make the project the best it can be? So for Alice, you know, she has a brother the same age as my son. So I think that made it easier for her to kind of come up with some of the drawings. But I would send her pictures and photographs. And sometimes she would work from that. And then I know the second book, she came over to my house. And we went and looked around corners. And we looked at different angles. And we took pictures of different angles. I mean, you know, we really did some research for how those pictures should look. But it does have to be where, now, if you feel really good about your illustrator, you could give them full rein and hope that they come up with what you like, but you don't want to waste anybody's time. Sure. So, you know, you really do have to have those conversations, and there is a lot going into it. Like you said, Richard, your comic has got lots of different panels, but, you know, if you're going for one photo or illustration that's got to capture it all, then you've got to hit that mark good. But it's like a synopsis too. If your synopsis is crappy, nobody's gonna know what your book is about either.
Yeah. Did you ever, and I don't know if this happened with you, did you ever at some point when you got an illustration, you were talking with Alice, did it cause you to make an adjustment in the text at all? Did you ever do that?
No, it didn't cause me to make an adjustment in the text, but it caused me to have to see the vision of that page differently, because her vision might be a little different from what I visualized. And so I'd have to make an adjustment sometimes to go with, okay, well, all right, that'll work also. I'm okay with that. Yeah. Because, I mean, my daughter is an illustrator. You know, my 17-year-old is a newly published illustrator, and watching her work is, you know, you can really see how much effort goes into it. And so sometimes you got to take a little bit of, you got to relax on maybe not being so rigid on something, because the effort to have to go back and fix it is, it's just not worth it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, you know, her daughter is, of course, we were the newly publishers that did her daughter's new stuff.
I know.
I do have to say, working on, Lizzie the Librarian, which of course is not one of yours, it's Thornton's sister. And your daughter, Lily, did the illustrations and the cover and the rear art for Lizzie the Librarian. I did have to go back in with Thornton a couple times and say, you have way too much verbiage here on this page. And we only have two options. It's either cut the verbiage down or make the picture a much smaller. And I didn't want to make the picture much smaller because we wanted to keep them within the same realm on every page.
Right. And so
they were forced to go in and adjust their verbiage in that. But that turned out really good. And one thing I will say about illustrators and pictures and books, especially children's books, is that we did not, Richard and I talked about this, we did not want these pictures not to jump off the page. We wanted these pictures to be vibrant and brilliant color, so they really grab the attention of the child. And so we worked a long time getting these pictures where they virtually jump off the page at you. And we're very proud of that process that we went through with that. And they turned out just absolutely super. Even the books that we redid with permission, we redid all the artwork in those books as well. So they all just turned out really nice.
Yeah, you did. You did a great job, and the colors are beautiful. And I just want to tell you, there's so much response that I get from people, you know, at events. I mean, you know, I've been able to do some here in the last 6-8 months, but, you know, it's just amazing how it draws people in, and how the picture of the child on the book really draws people in, the bright colors. And that's on purpose. That's a marketing thing, too, as well. And I'll tell you, Lily, Yeah, Lily's working on her next project, and it's a children's book. It's a friend of mine who's already published, and he has a children's book now, Romance Nights, going back to children. And she's doing this one in all digital art, and it is amazing.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, my gosh, the colors. Every time she does one, you know, and Rob, the author, has given her full reign, and I'm telling you, she never disappoints. It's just unbelievable, and I can't wait to see this one come to life, too, because it'll be the first full digital art children's book that she's done. You know, it's not watercolors, because Foolicious is all watercolors, and it's just brilliant what Alice did. People just go crazy over her artwork. Alice is an amazing artist.
She is a very good artist, yes.
Yeah, she is.
Extremely good. Unfortunately, in the printing process, you lose color. So if you don't vibrate the colors out, they tend to wash out. And after two or three printings of that book, it'll start getting a little duller and more dull and more dull and more dull. So.
Right.
You probably didn't want to hear that, but.
Yeah, I know.
I know that, and you know, I had to call. Lily's artwork is up in the library here, and but in the local library in our town, not the next city over, but the one here, the librarian, I helped them open a sensory room, helped them create a sensory room for children. I partnered with them, and they want some of her artwork in the sensory room for kids. So she's got four pieces that are digital. And so I've called and I'm getting them put on canvas, like 11 by 17. And so that things I said to them, Jim, was please try to keep that vibrancy of those colors and that detail that she. And if it doesn't work, then let me know before you waste our time and your time, you know,
right.
Go a different route. So I'm really hoping that it will come out as beautiful as the drawing is. And I know that's a challenge.
It can be. It very well can be. Bobby, we don't mean to wash you out over here. In fact, I'm looking at me kind of like, well, are you going to let me talk?
No, I think this is one of the questions I had for both of you was, what was it like for you to work with Mary on the publishing of this? Because it's children's is kind of new for you guys and for Tuscany Bay Books. And so I was kind of, you know, curious about that process. Yeah. So you're doing
Foolicious was the second children's book I did. The first one was for Jerry, The Pumpkin and the Scarecrow.
Right.
And I learned a lot on that book. And and so I put everything I learned on that book. And then Richard and I talked almost daily on Mary's books. Trying to figure out how we were going to do this, how we're going to do this, and you know, how we're going to do the cover and make sure that everything was just, I mean, the way Mary wanted it. And of course, Mary being a writer and an artist in her own right, was a giant pain in the ass. So, I'm teasing you, Mary. I'm teasing you. No, she was really good to work with. Really good to work with.
I was just about to jump in and say, of all the people, all the authors we've worked with on cover, from a cover aspect, because I do the covers, she was the best one to work with.
Absolutely.
And we had one author, and I'm not mentioning names, we had one author I was ready to go shoot, because it was just like everything was a fight. And it's like we finally got that cover out, and I was getting ready to retire as a cover artist after that one. So Mary was a godsend. So thank you, Mary, for being so easy to work with.
Well, the beauty is part of doing your books, Mary, is I sent the covers to Richard and he finished them. So,
he did what?
You know, Richard did the covers, most of them.
I polished them up.
He did
a fantastic job. He did.
I like him better than the first time.
Well, and you know, I mean, unfortunately, there was some stuff that we couldn't change on the reprints. Yeah. But most of it we managed to get changed over, and you know, they turned out fairly well for having to do a reprint. Of course, The Wonder of Me turned out really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out brilliant. And I'm just grateful for them to have a life. I'm so grateful for them to have a life and a home. And you know when a book is supposed to be in the world. I mean, I think for authors, if you're not if your ego isn't running your life and you really have a purpose behind what you're doing, I hope I don't offend anybody saying that, but I think if you have a purpose with your book, even if it's just tell a great story, make people laugh, make people cry, make people get scared, you know, whatever it is, I think you can feel it, you know, when you know a book is supposed to be in the world.
When you know a book is going to be there. That was my Jonah Blue. I knew that book was gonna hit, and it was gonna hit big, and it did.
That's awesome.
But I will say also that Richard and I both know, being writers and publishers, is that if you aren't a pain in the ass, you're not gonna get what you want.
This is also true.
And we refuse. We would rather talk to you every day, four times a day, to get what you want and make sure that you're happy with what you're getting, then shove something down your throat and say, well, that's all we can do, and that's all you're going to get, which happened to you with your last publisher.
But you know what? You also have to be diplomatic. I mean, you know, you can be particular, and that's good. You don't want to be lazy about your work. You put that into it. So want and, you know, get it done right, and, you know, don't get screwed in the process. But you also have to be to work with, because – nobody wants to work with difficult people.
No.
I mean, so I've been
especially
on set
us.
A long time. I understand that.
We went from children's books to a horror novel. Well, actually, horror short stories.
Yeah.
And now we're going to be doing three science fiction books and another Western. So,
cool.
We bounce around a lot, you know, nobody is immune to our charms and our talents.
Well, it's a representative of the guests that we have on the show, too, that we're not genre stuck.
Right.
So that would also make sense that you guys as publishers would be embracing any book that came, the manuscript that comes your direction, because you're, you know, already we're across all genres.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Well, we're not afraid to send a manuscript back to an author either and say it needs work and this is what you need to do. That's what we should do. That's our job.
Yep. Because you're not going to print crap.
No, well, we want you to succeed as well. And if we're not doing our job, you're not going to succeed in yours. And that's the truth of it.
And that's where people have to understand in the writing world, it's funny how I think there's that it's easy, and I think it's not an easy life to decide that you want to be a part of a journey, because for me the writing is the easiest part and editing sucks for everyone, right? Unless you just
and you know, we edit and re-edit, and we normally get a volume that's already edited, and then we have to send it back and say, wow, you talk to your editor because this is not very good.
That's the one thing I try to tell authors when I talk to them. It's the most valuable lesson I learned was back when I was still in newspapers, is that my written word is not cast in 24 karat gold. And the editor is there to polish that up to make it even better than it was before.
Right.
And if you cannot be open-minded enough to work with an editor, you're never going to be a good writer. And that's
right.
The one lesson I try to pound into authors that I talk to is, don't sit there and think that first draft that you put down is, you know, Ernest Hemingway level stuff. It's not.
Right.
Not yet.
Right. Right. Don't quit your job yet, because
no,
you know,
that too.
Yeah. Well, we actually sent one guy his book back, and I actually sent him back a chapter of time, and one chapter was completely redlined.
Ouch.
Wow. Bad.
That was well, Richard, you know who that was.
I know. No names.
But you know, he accepted it. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You have to be open minded. I think that's where I'm talking about the ego. Also, you got to put that aside if you want to be really good. You got to be humble enough to hear that.
Right.
Okay, so this needs a little thing, because we want what's best for you as well to be.
Correct.
You know, because if you're. You know, we both want to be successful here. I had a literary agent tell me one time, she said, okay, so write down, you know, write your first chapter and throw it out and start all over again.
Excellent. And you know what? We got to take another real quick break here, and we'll be back to you. This is LA Talk Radio. You are listening to The Writer's Block. And right now, we're going to hear a real brief message from Mickey Mickelson, and Creative Edge Publicity.
Hi, Jim Christina here for Creative Edge Publicity. And you know, there's a reason that authors flock to Creative Edge. Yes, it's true, and no one would believe it, but it is true. Creative Edge, the grassroots publicity firm that has stayed community-minded, is growing. And not only growing, but busting right out of their seams. With a client base of over 70 authors, 2 New York Times bestsellers, 6 USA Today bestsellers, and multiple international bestsellers and award winners, Creative Edge in 4 years has become one of the mainstays in the publicity book market, offering reader-focused opportunities in all levels of media, including podcasts, radio, TV, print, and much more. When it comes to publicity, Mickey Mickelson and Creative Edge are experts in the book industry. Look him up at www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future.
And we are back. And, of course, Mary Elizabeth Jackson is one of Mickey's authors, and she will be visiting with us tomorrow. Actually, we have a meeting tomorrow with our publicist. Of course, he is also ours. And he is the registered publicist for Tuscany Bay Books. So if you are a Tuscany Bay author and you need a publicist, we'll have Mickey contact you.
Yeah,
okay, Mary, we're out of time.
Uh-oh, how'd that happen?
It was so much fun talking to you that we're out of time. So if you wouldn't mind, give our audience your email and your website and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me at www.maryejackson.com. My email is mary@maryejackson.com. I'm on Facebook as maryejackson.author, and Twitter at mary_e_jackson, Instagram maryjackson444, and on LinkedIn. We have so many places we're at, aren't we? So it's just my name on LinkedIn as well. So, yeah, please reach out to me. If you have any questions or, you know, want some parenting, you know, stuff with autism and special needs and need some advocacy advice, you know, reach out to me, please. And we will make an announcement once we have these this 100 set ready to go for sale, won't we?
Well, we're going to start working on those next week, and we'll make sure we get them done for you. I need to do some work on the cover, but we'll get it done for you, and we'll get those out. And Richard, the CD will be here tomorrow, so I get those copied. Mm-hmm. Get some sleeves ordered and get all those to Mary so she can get those installed in the back covers of the books. And I'll get you some certificates, and we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it, aren't we?
We are. And thank you so much for agreeing to join us tonight. I know you have other things you could be doing, and you gave us 50 minutes of your life, so we appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it, too. And, Bobby, we'll have to chat sometime.
Yeah, Bobby get kind of, like, knocked out of this one. But sorry, Bobby. We love you.
No worries. It's always fun. Glad to be here.
So don't go away, Mary. Hang on just a second. Okay. Next week we have author Kate Holohan and her new book on Her Three Lives. She'll be with us on the Writer's Block, and it's going to be an interesting story because the book so far is really good.
It's really good.
It's really good, and Richard usually be there Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you all for joining us. For Sam Hassan, of course, the owner of LA Talk Radio, myself, Jim Christina, Richard Polinelli, Bobby Jean Bell, and her husband, Jim, who stuck his hand in there a little earlier and patted her on the back. We appreciate everybody's efforts, and we are out of here.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.